are going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Changer.
Hello world, huh?
What a massive week over in Phoenix for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. This is episode 18 and we're going to be reviewing that tournament and previewing the Genesis Invitational at the famous Riviera Country Club where Michael Pride, last year you had huge success, Max Homer winning at $100. You also had John Rahm top 10 at $2.36 and James Hahn top 20 at $5.90. Let's hope we can have just as big a week this year.
Absolutely. It's always good coming back to a course where you've had success.
Big week in Phoenix, as I said at the top. Scottie Scheffler got it done on the third playoff hole. He finished tied with Patrick Cantlay at 16 under. Xander Schauffele, Sahith Theegala and Brooks Koepka were all tied for third, a shot back at 15 under. But it was Scheffler's week this week. After Thursday and Friday, he initially had a first round 3 under, followed by a second round of even par. He sat at 3 under heading into the weekend. Now, the cut was 1 under, so Scheffler only made the cut by 2 shots. He was tied 44th, 9 shots back of the lead at halfway. Third round on Saturday, he started on the back nine and he opened with 7 birdies in his first 9 holes. He added 2 more on the way in to card a 9 under 62. He then sat at 12 under in a tie for third, 2 back of Theegala heading into the final round. Come Sunday, 3 birdies, 3 bogeys on the front nine to turn at even par, but he came home with 5 birdies and a bogey on the back. He hit his approach on 18 to 8 feet. Now, that was the closest approach shot of the day. He gave himself a birdie look for the win. In fact, his first career win. Unfortunately, he missed that putt. 3 playoff holes later, he made a 25-foot birdie putt to win the first time on tour. Second strokes gained putting for the week, gaining 6.5 strokes on the field. 8th strokes gained around the green, 4th strokes gained off the tee, 55th strokes gained approach. Michael, we'll talk about Scheffler's career to date, but just in terms of his performance last week in Phoenix, what'd you think?
It was good to see him break through. Unfortunately, I think we picked in his last 2 or 3 starts when he chose this week to win, but it's been coming for a while. I would have been really worried had he lost that playoff because he missed that putt on 18 and then like the first playoff hole, he rimmed out a really, really long putt, which would have won. And then you just worry that this young guy just keep knocking on the door and just keeps not winning. But the world's his oyster now. He's 11th in the world finishing the year and he hadn't even won on the PGA Tour. So now he's got his first win. He's into 9th in the world and I mean, he's just another one of those players. Seems like every week we're talking about someone new, but
he does.
There's about 10 blokes who all seem to be on a pretty similar level and they're all fairly young. I don't think it's too dramatic to say that. I think this is a bit of a golden generation in golf.
Definitely.
In terms of there's a lot of really, really high number one caliber type players in the world.
And they continue to share the wins around. There's not that one player who's just winning week in, week out. Like we've said in the last couple of episodes, it's no doubt a testament to the strength of the tour at the moment that it is just so competitive. You speak about Scheffler's age. I'm still shocked the guy's 25. He honestly looks 45 years old, don't you reckon?
Yeah, he does. And he's kind
crazy.
He's kind of got the pretty demeanor of an older guy as well. Like just
exactly
super casual. He's kind of got the game for him. I'm just the big surprise as he just hasn't won, but especially if someone who won so often as a kid, you know, it's remarkable.
He won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour in his first year in 2019 and he actually won Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year that season. And he then moved on to the PGA Tour. He's had 12 top 5 finishes in his first 2.5 seasons on tour. So, as you say, he's been knocking on the door for a long time. In his last six major starts, what do you reckon his worst result is?
Oh, it's probably like, I think he's got top 20 in all of them, hasn't he?
Yeah, correct. His last six starts, the worst result is T19. I'll just take you through them. 2020 PGA tied fourth, 2020 delayed Masters T19, 2021 Masters T18, 2021 PGA T8, 2021 US Open T7, and at the British Open last year T8. That is so consistent in the toughest tournaments of the year with the strongest fields. I think that just goes to show that he is a big-time player. He showed that at the Ryder Cup as well when he took down John Rahm in the singles after Rahm had had pretty much a flawless week. So, Scotty Scheffler is here to stay. There's no doubt about that. He's actually got a new caddy on the bag, Ted Scott. Now, Ted Scott was the former caddy of Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson was often seen giving Ted Scott quite a hard time. There was a Twitter hashtag trending for quite a while, pray for Ted Scott. But this duo seems to be working in just their fifth start. They've had Scheffler's first win. And speaking of first win, this is the fifth first-time winner on the tour this year. Third consecutive after Luke List and Tom Hoge. So a big congratulations to Scotty Scheffler. Patrick Cantlay was the man who went down to Scheffler in that playoff. His last six starts, win, win, fourth, ninth, fourth, second. So it's fair to say Patrick Cantlay is one of the hottest players on the planet right now. He had another very well-rounded week. Sixth strokes gained putting, 21st strokes gained around the green, 13th strokes gained off the tee. So, Michael, it just seems like Cantlay is rock solid in all areas. Paddy Ice couldn't quite get it done with a couple of chances on both the 18th green in regulation and the playoff, which surprised me a little bit given what we saw at the back end of last year.
Absolutely. But I think that was his first time at Phoenix Open, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean, to be going that close to winning at your first look, it's pretty incredible. But just even as you were talking about Patrick Cantlay there, like I'm looking at the top 10 now. And I reckon we've said something pretty similar about, obviously, Rahm. But then you go Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, Rory, Dustin, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Scotty Scheffler, Hideki.
You can make a case for all of them to be world number one. Really easy to do that.
And then you've got, you know, like Bryson's 12, Spieth 14, Brooks 15. They're all ex-number ones. Like, it's just incredible. It's almost like we're on repeat talking about someone new, but it is literally like that. Like,
someone's putting up their hand week in, week out, and that only makes it harder for you to try and work out who's going to win.
Well, harder or easier, yeah, because the other thing about these guys is that pretty much all of them are so consistent in their game, in their results. It's nuts. And just to go on about Scotty Scheff, he's got 15 top 10s in his PGA career in 54 starts.
Yeah.
Like, to start out your career, that is just, you know, one in three, one in four starts, he's getting a top 10.
And he's only been around for 2.5 seasons.
Exactly right. It is incredible. But yeah, no, it was great to see him finally get that win.
Yeah. Another player who it was great to watch him do well over the weekend was Sahith Gala. In his first season on tour, just 24 years of age, he's now made 5 straight cuts. He held or shared the lead for the majority of Sunday. He also did that at the Sanderson Farms earlier this season, but unfortunately, on both those occasions, he's been unable to convert that into a win. The real turning point was on 17 when he found water off the tee there. Fagala, a player to watch out for. I tipped him at, was it Pebble?
Pebble Beach, must have been, yeah. Pebble.
Yeah, I tipped him at Pebble and I thought, I can't be going another week early, but
but you even look at, I mean, 17 was, well, it was actually a really tough break. It just hit an undulation on the hill and went left. But you look at the names who were around him pretty much ever since he got in the lead early on in the tournament. He had Scheffler, Cantlay, Brooks Koepka, Schauffele, Billy Horschel, Justin Thomas, Masayama, John Rahm. Like, he
didn't seem fazed.
Like, he was up against literally 7 or 8 of the top 14 players in the world. And he held his own. I mean, he finished one shot behind the playoff and, again, got pretty unlucky on the 17th. I wrote him off about 4 or 5 times in the last 2 rounds. He'd kind of make a birdie and you could think, oh, he's just going to you know, fall away. But then, sure enough, he'd kind of get back. So I was really impressed with him, actually. He's definitely one to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, one for the Black Book, no doubt. Another player who had a good week and the final player we'll talk about this week was Xander Schauffele. Now, interestingly on Xander, fourth strokes gained around the green, ninth strokes gained approach, seventh strokes gained off the tee, but 53rd strokes gained putting. Just off from tee to green, he gained 13 strokes on the field. That's the best of his career. And that just goes to show, one, how good that part of his game is going, but two, how badly his putting is going to have that sort of week and still not win. In saying that, though, it does bode well for future tournaments going, well, if you can just have a slight improvement in your putting, the rest of your game is in unbelievable shape. So, Michael, pretty good looking for Xander.
Especially for someone who he is a good putter. Like, he's always been traditionally a better than average putter. So it's not like it's a, you know, a Matsuyama or something like that who is super streaky with the putter. Xander's not putting well, but he is a really good putter. So you tend to think if he's the rest of his game's in that good a shape, it's not going to be hard for him just to putt maybe average the field and he'll probably get the win.
Definitely. And it's been a very, very long time since he won on the PGA Tour. I know he won at the Olympics, but it's been a long time between PGA Tour wins. That's on the course, but what about off the course? The scenes when Sam Ryder had a hole-in-one on Saturday, followed by Carlos Ortiz having a hole-in-one on Sunday, and then that was topped off by Harry Higgs and Joel Damon running around the 16th green with their tops off. We need to get over there. I know we spoke about it last week that next year we're going to have the Phoenix Open and the Super Bowl in Phoenix on the same weekend. Michael, you must be pretty desperate to go and tick that one off the bucket list.
Oh, absolutely. It looked awesome. And I think it's I mean, there's probably only really 2 weeks where you get this. One's at Phoenix and the other one's a Ryder Cup in terms of atmosphere. And for a lot of blokes, especially four blokes like Harry Higgs, Joel Damon, they're never going to play, you know, Ryder Cup or a President's Cup. So this is probably their one chance a year they get where, you know, it is a non-golf crowd, which is awesome. Like, it's a, you get booed if you're 30 feet from the hole. Oh, there's some kind of commentary that it's bad for golf, but this is the one hole in one tournament once a year. Like, you got to you got to let them have a different sort of atmosphere. And I think it's awesome for golf.
I agree.
By the looks of it, all the players love it.
The good news is when we talk about giving a different insight into the game or a different look for the game, a lot of people will know that Netflix is doing a documentary on the PGA Tour similar to what they've done with the F1 and Drive to Survive. Harry Higgs and Joel Damon are probably two of the lesser known names to the average golf fan. They both are incredibly humorous over social media. And it's been confirmed that there was cameras recording that whole scene. So that'll be really good to see when the Netflix doco does come out.
Oh, that'll be hilarious.
It will be. The other part, probably not so happy, was Charlie Hoffman. Now, he took to Instagram to unload on the PGA Tour and its officials regarding a ruling. He'd found water. He took a drop in a drop zone. He went to go and essentially have a look at his shot. And when he came back, he'd realized that where he dropped his ball or placed his ball had actually rolled back into the water and he received another penalty. He blamed that on the officials, even though he's been playing on the tour for a number of years now and no doubt is aware of that exact rule. He was saying that this is why other tours are gaining in popularity. Pretty much the way I think most of golf media has read that is that he's trying to create an excuse potentially to take offers from Saudi League. Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau also commented on Hoffman's post, completely agreeing with his stance on the tour. Again, people coming out and saying, be a man about this. If you want to take the money, take the money, but don't try and pay out the PGA Tour while you do that. It's a bit cowardly. What did you kind of think about that whole episode, Michael?
I can kind of give Charlie Hoffman the pass that he could have just had really genuinely had the shits. He's come off vented and then overnight maybe he's kind of come to his senses, but I think it was a lot clearer for Phil and Bryson because obviously they're the two that are the two main guys. Obviously, if they go, they probably know they're going to be branded villains. So they can probably build as much of it.
They're trying to build a case
exactly
against the PGA Tour while they're still a part of the tour, I think.
Exactly right.
And try and get people on side that how can we play on this tour? Pretty poor form, but that's that. We can focus on the positives instead and the great enjoyment that the crowd got. Just before I move on from the Phoenix Open, a bit of a rumor floating around about Bryson. He supposedly has told players that he might not play on the PGA Tour again. He's come out today and said that's completely false, but where there's smoke, there's often fire. So stay tuned for more updates around Bryson's future on the PGA Tour. Michael, massive week over in Phoenix. Anything else you wanted to touch on before we move on to the Genesis?
I had a couple of people kind of message and say, oh, it's a good week. And it's hard because sometimes I only judge a good week on if we get a winner. But getting four blokes in the top 33 is a good, strong week. And we had a couple of top 10s and top 20s. So,
yeah, that's spot on. We had Hideki top 10. We had
Bubba top 20.
Bubba Watson top 20. Russell Henley tied 33rd and Russell Knox tied 33rd. So, four players in the top 33. I think the model was pretty close last week, Michael.
Yeah. No, it was a good week. We need to be happy with that. Absolutely.
Keep it going into somewhere where you've had great success last year. So, let's jump into it. The Genesis Invitational. So, the Genesis Invitational, the course we're playing at is the very world-renowned Riviera Country Club, located in Los Angeles, just 15 minutes drive from Venice Beach, the glitz and glamour. The tournament was first held here in 1929 and has subsequently been held here 57 times. Now, this is the 12th toughest course on the tour by scoring average, so it's going to be a great test for all the golfers this week. The fairways and rough are Kaikouyu. Now, they're firm fairways, so you need to think your way around this golf course, particularly with a lot of doglegs out there. The greens are Poa'anau, and they are quick. So, it's going to reward those who can scramble well around the green and putt well on Poa greens. These are the seventh largest greens on tour, yet the second lowest green in reg ranking on tour. So, again, you're going to see a lot of players missing greens and they need to be able to scramble well. A stat, I feel like I bring a Justin Ray stat into this show every week, but he is the golf data god. He's throwing up a ripper this week. The entire top 10 in the official world golf rankings will be present this week. The last time that happened outside a major players WGC or a playoff event was 2007 at Quail Hollow, and before that, 1994 at Bay Hill. So, that's extremely rare. It's going to be a great field for one of the tour's great tournaments. Michael, how do you see it playing out this week?
Now, as you say, it's a bit of a tough course. I didn't realize the top 10 was in it, but it just shows probably the respect the players have for Riviera. It's always such a good tournament. This week, as you say, there's probably two ways you can win. You either need to be a really good scrambler who putts really well on these greens, or you probably need to have an incredible ball striking week. If you look at the past winners, you look at Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott. Scott's won twice. Bubba Watson's won three times. Like Dustin's won twice. They probably fit the ball striking mold. And then you look at the kind of Phil Mickelson, JB Holmes, blokes who kind of scrambled and putted their way to winning around here. They're kind of the two pathways to win. And then the other thing you got to do well here is you got to score well on the par fives. There's the drivable par four, but in terms of scoring, you got to get it done on the par fives because, you know, almost breaking even on the par threes and fours is a good result. So, they're the kind of stats that we'll look for. Oh, just before I get into the tips, I saw a good stat. 25 Hall of Fame members have won 39 championships here. And 10 of the winners here since 2003 have been major winners. So, a lot of really good golfers win this tournament. I mean, you can see by the class in the field this week. It's certainly one that players would build towards, and it's certainly ones that they want to win. So, you'll probably see that in my four tips. My first one is a bloke you were talking about not long ago, was Xander Schauffele. Now, you can get $28 for Xander this week, which I think is pretty incredible considering his consistency week to week. Now, I've got him third all time at Riviera, like overall in iron play, and looking a little bit deeper, he's third in par five scoring, sixth in greens in reg, eighth in strokes gained approach, and 10th in strokes gained tee to green. So he knows how to play well here. He's 21 under in four starts for a 15th last year, 23rd 2020, a 15th 2019, and a 9th 2018. So he's been ultra consistent here. Now, he hasn't missed a cut this season, but he definitely had his best week of the season last week. But as you were talking about before, he had his best week all season in off the tee approach and around the green categories, but he had his worst putting week since August last year, and he finished one shot off the playoff. So I've got him around $19. I think he's good value at 28. My next tip is Rory at 26. In terms of the all-time ranks at Riviera, he's second in the field in strokes gained off the tee, and he's fourth in par five scoring. In his five starts here, he's got a tied fifth in 2020, a tied fourth in 2019. In his last 10 starts worldwide, he's got five finishes of sixth or better. He won five starts back at the CJ Cup. He was sixth the next start after that, and I think that's when he threw away a Sunday lead in Dubai and ripped his shirt. And then he was third last start also in Dubai. So he's in form. I'm pretty happy to take $26 for an in-form Rory McIlroy at a tournament he does well in. So, yeah, $26 is a lot for a bloke that wins a lot. Now, my third pick is Aussie Adam Scott. You could argue that no one likes it around here, around Riviera, better than Adam Scott. His all-time stats here, he's fifth in tee to green, fifth off the tee, fifth in approach, sixth in putting, first in greens in reg, and fourth in par five scoring. To go with all of that, he also ranks inside the top 10 in the field in putting on these greens, on Poa greens. So he's 13 starts here at Riviera. He's got nine finishes of 17th or better. So it's pretty incredible. He's got two wins, 2005 and 2020. He's got two runner-up finishes, 2006 and 2016. And he was seventh here in 2019. Now, in his last 15 starts worldwide, he's made 14 cuts, four of those top 10s, and seven of those 16th or better. So he's in good form. He models well, and he's coming to a course where arguably no one does better statistically. And you can get $60 for him. I really like him. There's no reason why he won't do well this week, in my eyes.
$60 seems like way overs for someone with such strong previous course history here and also in good form. So, Adam Scott.
Absolutely. Keep an eye on him. Now, much of the same for the final pick is Bubba Watson at $55. Now, he ranks inside the top 15 in tee to green and greens in reg in the field this PGA season. Now, add to that, at Riviera, he's second in par five scoring, seventh in greens in reg, fourth in tee to green, and first in strokes gained off the tee. Now, he's won this tournament three times, 2014, 2016, 2018. So I don't really need to talk anymore about how much he likes it here. And he's coming off consecutive good weeks. He was unluckily runner-up in Saudi Arabia, and then he had a really good week last week for a 14th. So again, he's another guy like Scott, in decent form. He's modeling well, loves the course. And of those four tips, you look at the stat I talked about earlier about major winners and Hall of Fame members doing well here. All four already have Hall of Fame careers, and Rory, Adam Scott and Bubba are major winners, and I'd be very surprised if Xander Schauffele doesn't win a major in his career. So they all fit the bill perfectly for the type of caliber player to win here. Now, if we go to not the worst, I've got Taylor Gooch at $65. He's just someone who models really well. He's in the top 10 for strokes gained approach and tee to green. You match that with his all-time ranks at Riviera. He's 8th in approach, 12th in tee to green. He's got three starts here for a 12th, a 10th, and a 20th. Now, since his win at the RSM, five starts back, he's got four finishes of 27th or better. So, he's still in good form. I think he's someone who can do well at $65. Now, the next pick pains me to say, but I've got Cameron Tringale at $140.
We can't be going back to Tringale. You have written him off so many times and said, never again, Tringale, and we're back here.
No, he is, I know. He's, for someone who's been so good on the tour, he is $140, which is a bit nuts. Wow.
That does actually seem like massive overs.
Now, if he's winning coming into Sunday, will I be confident? Absolutely not. But, I mean, he ranks 10th in the
field. Does he fit the bill with Hall of Fame career? No.
Yeah, no, he's not going to win a major. Now, ranks in the field, he's 10th in putting, he's 19th in par five scoring, he's ranks all time at Riviera, he's second in strokes gained approach, fifth in scrambling, seventh in par five scoring. But if you look at his run of form, he's gone second at the Zozo, missed the cut at Mycoba, seventh at Houston, missed the cut at MX, third at Farmers, missed the cut at Pebble Beach. So if you look at that run, he must be due a really high finish. So I'm going to go for $140 is very good value. He's kind of a little bit similar to Max Homer last year in the sense that he's a bloke that consistently done well for the last 12, 18 months, and he's done well here in the past. I'll have a 140.
You'll give him a chance, chance.
Well, yeah. I can guarantee you this, it won't be his final chance because he just always seems to be up there in the model, unfortunately. Now, my final, not the worst, is Wyndham Clark at $410. He ranks second in the field, putting on Poa Greens, and he's eighth in driving distance. So, he's really long off the tee and he's a good putter. He ranks fourth in scrambling and first in putting at Riviera. He's got two career starts here. He was 17th in 2020, 8th last year. Someone who's got that kind of profile of hitting it long, putting well on power greens and putting and scrambling well here, $410 seems a lot. Wyndham Clark's the type of bloke I might have for first round leader as well as to win, just given his price. It's, I mean, 410 is pretty nuts. So, yeah. So, they're the four tips. Xander Schauffele, $28. Rory McIlroy, $26. Adam Scott, $60. Bubba Watson, $55. They're not the worst. Taylor Gooch, $65. Cameron Tringale, $140. And Wyndham Clark at $410.
So, let's hope the results from last year at Riviera, or we can go close to matching those results from last year. Max Homer at $100 was quite incredible. Who knows? Maybe it's a Wyndham Clark win this week.
Oh, and also, I always get asked, people who are in one and done comps where, you know, everyone picks one player per tournament and you can't pick that player again. The two I would look to is Adam Scott and Bubba Watson. I don't think there's going to be many tournaments where either of those two will
they
be-
They stand out so
exactly
much.
Right. So, yeah. I'll no, look to those two.
That makes total sense. I guess the logic being there that Xander and Rory's games are going to go pretty well at a number of different venues, whereas Scotty and Bubba really stick out this week.
Absolutely.
So, that's a good one for one and done. If you are playing DFS fantasy, though, I'll run you through my team. I've got DJ at the top of the list. Incredible course history at Riviera. In his last eight starts here, he's had no worse than T16. Within those last eight starts, he's also had three finishes in the top two, including one win. He's really strong around the greens, DJ. So, I think that bodes well for Riviera, given what we've spoken about with the fact it is hard to hit these greens. But also, just in terms of players on Poa Anna greens, he's won 11 times on Poa Anna. So, seems to putt really well on these sorts of greens. As I say, DJ, my top pick. Cameron Smith, my second pick.
Sorry, just on DJ, 10 top 10s here in 14 starts. He's nuts.
Super consistent. So, really loves nuts. Riviera. Cameron Smith, my second pick. He finished fourth here in 2021 and sixth in 2018. He's in good form. His last four starts read fourth, miscut, first, fourth. Great around the greens, great putting, and pretty much just a really good overall game. Adam Scott's had success here, so the Aussies seem to like Riviera. Third pick, Matt Fitzpatrick. Now, he's made a couple of swing changes over the off-season, and they seem to be working because He's had a 10th last week and a 6th the week before. So he's in really strong form. He's had 2 starts at Riviera, a 5th last year and a 30th the year before. He's a great putter. And so I think Matt Fitzpatrick is a good pick for this week. Taylor Gooch, my 4th pick. You've already spoken about Taylor Gooch. He's got a pretty good record here. He's been in strong form this season. He's already had a win. Strong strokes gained approach and around the green, which again fits the profile of players who do well at this course. My 5th pick is Mark Leishman. He's had a 4th and a 5th here previously, albeit going back a few years. Again, a really strong putter. Now, going back to when you previewed Torrey Pines, you had Leishman right up there, given the remarkable success he's had over the years there. Torrey Pines has Kikuyu fairways with Poa Anna greens, and that's the same here at Riviera this week. So, in terms of, I guess, a course where form translates well from one to the other, it seems like Torrey is a pretty comparable course. So I'm expecting Mark Leishman to have another good week.
He also fits the bill of someone we've been on. And then the week we go off him, he wins.
The week we go off him. Exactly. We've been on him a number of times. So maybe it's Leish's time to get a win. The last player is Mito Pereira. Now, he's someone Michael mentioned last week, and he's not the worst. We've spoken at large about his incredible strokes gained approach numbers. I know in the first episode of this year, when we were speaking about Mito transitioning from the Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour, in the few starts he had made as a non-member, his strokes gained approach numbers were comparable with the very upper echelon of the tour's highest performers. So those numbers are still pretty strong, but what has improved is his putting. So I think as that continues to come along in leaps and bounds, Pereira's going to have a breakthrough result soon. He is coming off a missed cut, which was disappointing last week.
I think he did miss it on the number, though, I think.
Correct, yeah. So he was minus one.
He was only a shot behind, or shot or two behind Scotty Siriff, and he won. So
exactly. What could have been for Mito? So there's my 6. DJ, Cam Smith, Matt Fitzpatrick, Taylor Gooch, Mark Leishman, and Mito Pereira. Before we go, I did have a storyline, not about a player this week, but again, something to watch out for. And that's probably one of the most interesting holes on the tour, the 10th hole. Now, it's a drivable par 4, 315 yards, which equates to 288 meters. So most of the pros can actually reach that with a 3-wood. The green is protected by incredibly deep bunkers. It's really tough to firstly get out of the deep bunkers, but then secondly, keep the ball on the green because it's one of the narrowest greens on the tour. I think it was Scott Piercy who actually went from side to side to side a few years ago, and it won't surprise me if this weekend you see one, maybe multiple players do the same thing. Now, you talk about statistically how you play holes. If you go back to 2015, 50% of the field would lay up here. But the fairway is actually protected by a number of bunkers too. So you've got to be super accurate with that layup to even land on the fairway. And then again, you've got one of the narrowest greens on tour. So it's not a given that you actually hit the green with your second shot. So in recent years, that's now moved to 80% of players who go for the green off the tee. And that's actually led to a decrease in the scoring average. In 2011 to 15, the average was 4.042. From 2016 to 2020, as players have started to go for the green, that's moved to 3.896. So just a really interesting subplot. Watch out for how players play that hole this week. A number will go for it. Others will lay up. There's risk either way you go. For such a short hole, it does throw up a number of really big scores. So keep an eye on the 10th hole at Riviera this week.
I'm pretty sure last year in the final round, they had a graphic up and there were just as many eagles and birdies as there were bogeys and double bogeys. So it was the ultimate risk and reward hole. And it's almost one of those ones where, as you say, the layup's not even a safe shot. So you don't actually have a safe shot until the ball's in the hole because there's so many blokes that just go over one side, one side of the green onto the other. It's an awesome hole because it looks so easy, but it's just, yeah, it's not at all.
Exactly. And then I haven't even mentioned the trees just to the left of the green, and that's where Max Homer ended up in that playoff last year against Tony Finau.
Yes.
He had to hit out, I think, left-handed or maybe even backwards and managed to actually go on to win that playoff. So, there's trouble everywhere you look at the 10th. It's going to be a cracking week at the Genesis Invitational. Michael, anything else from you to add on the Genesis Invitational?
Looking forward to a really, really strong field. It'll be awesome to watch.
Exactly. No more NFL tips, but there are still NBA tips on the generaladmission.com.au. Head there or follow us on Instagram at the General Admission. We're creating a Facebook group as well where we're hoping that the listeners can go onto our Facebook group, share their thoughts on who's going to win this week, share their betting slips before the tournament starts so that you can have the glory come Monday morning when you find a winner at big odds. So look out for that. We'll share that on our Instagram page on how to join the Facebook group. Apart from that, Michael, we hope you all enjoy the show. Keep listening. We're seeing our listeners grow each week, which is really pleasing. Continue to share it with your friends and flick us a rating on Spotify or Apple. The support's always appreciated. Michael, another big week of golf. It's been a massive week of golf. Hope you all enjoy the coming week from Los Angeles.
Too easy. Good luck.
I think I did all right today. Yes, I think he understands now.
Nothing like it in the sports, really.
What a shot.